Gentlemen, many of you are about to travel away for your winter vacation. Travel is a very interesting thing in Jewish law. Many things can happen on the way to traveling. What are the issues that may come up as you travel? Besides the lack of kosher food, the lack of a minyan, what are the major issues that come up? Huh?
When we travel? No, we just have to go with a blank mind and look forward to a 4-month vacation.
Vacation is an important thing, but
we
I would
go to shul down there.
Even though we're on vacation, we go to shul, but the question is, as you're traveling, that's usually where complex questions come up. For example, when you're traveling, you sometimes hit the dateline. What do I mean you hit the dateline? Suppose you want to take a trip east. We're now in Canada, so you want to go eastwards. The minute that you pass, after a few hours, let's say from now, if you take off in a few minutes, it's now 9-something in the morning, ultimately you get to where you need to get to, but within a few hours it would become nighttime because of the dateline. So the question is, if you, for example, daven shacharis in Halifax, you blew your nose, you got onto the plane, and then, you know, the plane made you miss mincha. You never were over any area in which you would be obligated in mincha. Mincha today, its obligation starts, let's say, 12:30 in the afternoon local time, till about 4:30, 4:45 in the afternoon local time. Well, let's say you took off at about 12 o'clock. It's not yet mincha time. You're up in the air with, and you're going east. Within a few minutes, within something, let's say you fall asleep, you missed mincha. Correct? That's an issue that comes up on almost any plane. More importantly, when you go to Israel from North America, that happens endlessly. The question is, let's say you take off at, I don't know, you take off at 12 o'clock, take off at midnight. Within a few hours, it's shacharis time. Now back at your destination, back at where you started out, back at your origin, it's not yet time for shacharis. Not yet daylight. So when do you daven shacharis?
All hours, the night and day.
It's a big problem because you fall asleep and you wake up and may have missed shacharis. The truth of the matter is, and I love this coin, this coin was actually coined not by me, but Rabbi Rav Soloveitchik. He said it beautifully, and I heard it from Rabbi Kepet. It said, you cannot take time and fold it into your suitcase with your clothes. Davening, or obligations of the Jew that are dependent upon time, are based on where you are. Not based on where you were, and not based on where you will be, but based on where you are at that moment. So, if you got on a plane at 12 o'clock, and within 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, mincha time is over, and you missed it, you missed it. Not your fault. You're on the plane. Your obligations that are dependent upon time is based on where you are, not based on where you're going. And this, of course, causes a very big problem for any Jewish astronaut that went up to the moon. Why? Endless. Doesn't end. Every few minutes, yes, daven shacharis and mincha and maariv. It's a very big question. There's no question that when he goes up to the moon, if indeed what I'm saying is true, it's based on where you are, then indeed it's extremely important to know that when you go up to the moon and you're revolving around the earth, then you're constantly in an endless obligation of shacharis, mincha, maariv, shacharis, mincha, and maariv. That's the old joke. Now, when you go on a trip, it's a very interesting law. When you leave the city, if you're going in between cities on the highway, there's a very interesting prayer that we say. It's called Tfilat HaDerech. Tfilat HaDerech basically is a prayer. It's brought down in the tractate Brachot. It says, basically, God, may you take me to my destination in peace. May no harm come unto me. Blessed are you, God, who hears the prayers, who hears prayers. What is this prayer all about? Let's think. Why would there be a prayer on the way? You know, the rabbi blesses the Lamborghini, the rabbi blesses the board meeting. The rabbi can bless many things, but with all due respect, what exactly are you blessing? The highway? Yeah.
You're praying for safety.
Safety. So why, Mark, do you think there'd be an issue of safety when you travel? I mean, with all due respect today, with all the precautions they take, you go to the airport today, I mean, it's hilarious. You got to almost undress in security. Take off your shoes, take off your belt, take off your this, take off your that. Finally, you get through all the security precautions they have on the plane. Any little minuscule that's missing, they delay the flight. What safety issue are we dealing with?
It's the same way that you talked about it's not being withdrawn, still being valid. They're not withdrawn, still being valid. It was formerly
before we get to that question of is this still valid, I want to know today, Let's just try to think about this in the abstract. What is not safe about traveling?
It's not safe. It's not safe. We're complaining.
And what do you mean, Elliot?
Oh, you're some terrorist climbing on the plane there, unbeknownst to the security. It happened.
So first of all, the minute that you're talking about an international flight of any sort, or you're going in between states or in between countries, there's no question that you'd have a much larger segment of diversity on the plane. What do I mean? Instead of just having your crew from Shul or from Halifax, you'd be having other people, guests of sorts and shapes. And there's no question that in that situation, in the situation in which you have a larger crowd, there might be, as Elliot points out, a very acute danger of terrorists. And therefore, this plane, this prayer that God should take you safely to wherever you're going to go, is extremely important. The minute that you start branching out, you got to be more careful. I mean, let's face it, the President of the United States, he lives in the White House. I'm sure everybody breathes nice and non-heavily. The minute he goes out for dinner, every Secret Service agent is absolutely not eating for days to make sure everything's going to be okay. So, that makes sense. What else? What else could there be on the way that we have to make this prayer?
No kosher food anymore.
No kosher food. Let's assume there is kosher food. Today, thank God, you can make kosher, you can make
arrangements. Bring your own on the plane.
Excuse me?
Bring your own kosher food on the plane.
Yeah, food is not the biggest issue I would worry about.
And there's
Semites. Semites, they might bump you.
Landing in France. Stay away from there.
Landing in France.
I remember my first trip to Israel in 69. We went to New York.
Yeah.
We landed in Athens.
In Athens.
First, that was our first stop. And we had to all get off the plane, turn in our passports at the, should we say, and we had about 3 hours in Athens. They drove us around. It was very nice. And then we took the LL thing. It used to go from Athens directly to Israel. And their security was lousy. All they did is take your passports. You didn't go, they weren't searched or anything back in those days.
Well, there's no question that security is an important question. But I would say that there's a bigger, and in my opinion, a much more important danger when you travel. And I call this the danger of being egocentric. What do I mean? When you're in Halifax, there's a sense of accountability. When you're flying or you're leaving, there's no accountability. For a very simple reason. What's the reason?
You're among strangers.
You're among strangers. The probability that you'll ever meet those strangers again, it's almost none. And therefore, you can allow yourself naturally to be egocentric. To basically push in line. To basically drive too fast, or what do you care? Ultimately, you're on a highway. Forget about a plane. You drive at whatever amount of time. You pass people, you cut people off. They're not going to look for you and say you know, it was very impolite of you to do that. That's not the case when you're back at home. When you're in a mall in Halifax and you want to push ahead in the line, you might meet these people again in the mall. The probability is much higher. So the biggest danger beyond your own personal safety is, I would say, your human dignity, to be egocentric. And therefore, it's a very interesting issue. Guess what the Talmud says on this issue? It says that you should make a prayer when you go, and the prayer was suggested, God, please make sure that I arrive safely. Then the Talmud comes out and says, that's an incorrect prayer. You should always make a prayer in which you make yourself a partner with the public. You should always make yourself a partner with the public. And then it says you should make the prayer not in singular, but rather in what? In plural. Not God, make sure I get there safely. God, make sure we get there safely.
Everyone.
And you see this all the time. Let's take, you're at the carousel. You're getting your suitcases. You see your suitcases come, right? You know the minute your suitcases come, you and your devotion to that airport is, excuse me for saying so, almost none. What do you care? You got to get to the airport in order to get out of the airport. You don't want to stay there a minute you don't have to. As you're taking off your final suitcase, you see an old lady in the horizon over there. She's struggling to get off her suitcase. Well, if you wait with her, if she asks you to wait with her, you're obviously going to be more detained. You're not going to be able to get to your final destination in time. Whatever that might be, your hotel, your home. It's so easy in an airport to be egocentric. you're online for the suitcases. Or someone in front of you just hesitates. They look at their watch. They drop something. Very easily, you can cut them off. You won't see them. They won't see you. In 2 days, you'll never see each other again. It's extremely important when you travel that that human dignity that you have while you're at home, in your home base, continues even while you're on a plane or you're on the highway. Now, while you're on the plane, the only danger could probably be that you might push someone, you might be impolite to someone. There's a bigger danger when you're on the road. And what do I mean?
Are you talking about in Canada or Israel?
Anywhere. If you're on the road, if you're in the highway, if you're driving down the highway anywhere in the world, your courtesy to fellow drivers is only because you want to be courteous. There's nothing in it for you. What do I mean there's nothing in it for you? You're not going to meet these people again. You're not going to say, thank you so much for driving 100 miles per hour. You didn't bump into me. You didn't cut me off. I didn't have to worry. You were such a careful driver. These are not the people you're going to go to shul with on Rosh Hashanah. You're not going to see these people again. So you can allow yourself to cut them off, to drive a little dangerously in order to get to where you want to go faster. And there it's a bigger danger. The danger, of course, is your own personal safety and their personal safety. If everybody's driving that way, being totally egocentric, I'd be very scared to drive. Yeah?
You're suggesting that we are weak moral fiber and that our sense of purpose is not generated from within, but rather from without. So,
I don't think we have a very weak sense of morality at all. I think that because we learn these laws, we have a very high sense of morality. In other words, the fact that we, before we go on a road trip, before we go on a plane, we say this prayer, hopefully that will ensure that we act like human beings and not, God forbid, like degenerates while we're traveling. Anyway, to sum up, gentlemen, the danger of being egocentric while you travel is very, very grave, and it's important to say this prayer before you travel.